This morning for my text, I want to call your attention to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to be moving into a new series of messages now, starting the fall season. I probably will be announcing that next Sunday. I want to continue to think and pray about that a little bit more. But I will be likely announcing that next Sunday morning. But this morning I call your attention Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 37, as I preach on a time of reflection and anticipation. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 to 37. Not even going to go into the background, the context of the passage, but just let these words speak for themselves. With reference to us here this morning, the writer of Hebrews says, "But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of afflictions. Partly, while you were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly while you became companions of them that were so used. For you had great compassion on me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that you have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." I look forward to what God is going to do in days ahead here in our church. I look forward to this fall. We have new programs. We have new Sunday school classes. We have new teachers. A new Awana year. We've got a great men's breakfast coming up. There are new ladies programs that are being planned. I plan to reinstitute our calling ministry, which we did this summer for 1 month. And want to reintroduce it and to change it a bit, but I'm excited about what I believe God is going to do through our church in days ahead. We have a new church organization, elders and deacons, that soon will be in place. And so I'm excited about some of the things that I believe God's going to do through us. Today, I want this to be a time of reflection a little bit on the past and a time of anticipation for this season which lies ahead of us. I want it to be a time of reflection and anticipation, not only in our church, but in your own personal life. In your own life. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 66 and verse 16, "Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what great things He hath done for my soul." Many times you and I just need to do that. We need to sit down and look back and say, "Let me tell you about some of the great things that God has done for my soul." Sometimes we get so involved in the problems of the immediate day, and sometimes we get to looking to the future for what we want God to do, that we forget to reflect upon all that God has done for us as a body of people, as a church, and particularly in our individual lives and our families. We seem to forget that. I have confessed many times in prayer meetings, in our midweek prayer service, for example, that we pray about something which is very urgent for us at the moment. And with us, it's so important. We're really beseeching God for that matter. And then we come to the next week, and we've got a whole new series of needs and problems, and we're earnestly beseeching God for those, and we are guilty of forgetting many of the answers to prayer that God gave to us last week because those needs were met and those crises passed, and we just let them. Now, folks, that's nothing short of sin. I hate to put it so terribly, but that's what it is. And I'm guilty of it many times, and I'm sure you are too. Because we're often concerned about the needs and the problems and the opportunities which lie before us right now, and we fail, as the psalmist said, to say, "You who fear the Lord, come in here, and let me tell you what great things God has done for my soul." I want to do that a little bit with you this morning. I want it to be so in your life and in the life of our church. Let me reread the passage that I read to you. And this time I'm going to read it from the Living Bible. Now, some people have problems with the Living Bible not using it because it's a paraphrase. It's not a translation. It's okay as long as you realize what it is. It's a paraphrase. It's not a translation. In fact, I keep a copy on my shelf because as I use it, it's almost like a commentary. Many times I'll read a passage in it and I'll look back at King James. I never saw that before. It's been here all the time and I didn't see it. I just like the way this puts it. Let me read it to you. Don't ever forget those wonderful days when you first learned about Christ. You look back when you were saved? Remember how you kept right on with the Lord, even though it meant terrible suffering. He's writing to these Hebrews, of course, what they were going through. Sometimes you were laughed at and beaten. Sometimes you watched and sympathized with others suffering the same things. You suffered with those that were thrown in jail. And you were actually joyful when all you owned was taken away, knowing that better things are waiting you in heaven. Things that will be yours forever. Do not let this happy trust in the Lord die away no matter what happens. Remember your reward. You need to keep on patiently doing God's will if you want Him to do for you all that He has promised. His coming will not be delayed much longer. I like that. I like that. That's practical stuff. That's right down where we live. Keep your eyes focused on the right things, he says. What God's going to do for you. And oh, don't forget what He's done for you in the past. Remember those wonderful days, he said, when you first learned about Christ. Wonder if you can. Remember the joy of your salvation, your new love for the Lord, your new burden for your friends and loved ones, your family that was without Christ. You're even willing to suffer ridicule from some of your old friends that didn't know Christ. You look back to that. You just loved to go to church because it was a new experience for you to fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ who'd come to know Christ like you had. And this was a new experience for you, and it was something so wonderful and new to you that it was just wonderful. And having money, even your job, though they are important, didn't seem nearly so important as they once did before you were saved, because you found something that was so far more important, far more precious. Bill Cullerman was telling me yesterday about their ABF that has been sharing testimonies right along that line, people in the ABF who've been sharing testimonies of when you came to know Christ. Some perhaps not having done that before, being encouraged even to write it down, to write it out, and then share it with somebody just even if you read it. I want to tell you, people, that's one of the best exercises as a Christian that you can have, is to reflect back when Christ came into your heart, when you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, and when you were born again and first knew Christ. It's one of the best witnesses that you can have, simply to tell what Jesus has done for you. I agree with the emphasis of the first love renewal, which was led by Ron Thompson and Brethren Evangelistic Ministries, which says God has equipped every Christian to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ from the moment that you are saved. That's right, He has. Some people say, well, I don't know enough about the Bible. I don't know enough Bible verses, and I don't know this particular plan of presenting the gospel, and I'd be afraid people would ask me questions that I can't answer. Forget all about that. Somebody asks you a question from the Bible you don't know, say, I know, I got an answer for you. I don't know, but I'll find out. But one of the best things that you can do is simply telling men and women what Jesus Christ has done for you and what He means to you. That's a great experience. It's the best witness you can have. I've shared with you my own testimony, how I came to know Christ just before my 14th birthday. One of the great experiences of my life, as I've shared this with you, was about 4 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago. The background is this. Before I came to know Christ, my parents and I attended a liberal church. Now, by that I simply mean it was not a church where people took their Bibles. It was not a church where the gospel was clearly presented. My mother and father were both church officers. Mother was a Sunday school teacher. Dad was an usher. Neither one of them had ever been saved. Never heard the gospel. I was a church member for 4 years, and I never heard the gospel. Never knew how to be saved. One day in a little community building in Indiana, at a youth meeting, actually, it was a non-denominational youth meeting, I heard the gospel for the first time, and I opened my heart and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my mother and father... Mother did the same night, and my dad sometime later. Well, while we had attended that church, before we came to know Christ, there was young people went to camp, like they do from most churches, go to camp of some sort. And I went to a camp in northern Indiana. And I'd gone there for, I guess, since I was about 9 years old, something like that. And I'd go each summer. But then when I came to know Christ, when I was 13, we were still attending that church, And I went back to that camp, and oh, how my life had been changed. I was just a kid, I was just 13, but I knew that Jesus had come into my heart. Knew I'd been saved. Things were different. And I went to the camp, and I shared with the fellows in the cabin, and the cabin counselor, who I don't think knew Christ himself, what Christ meant to me, and what I'd found. I didn't know Bible verses. I didn't know the Scriptures, but I knew what Jesus had done. And I shared. And one of the great experiences was 3 or 4 years ago when Grace Brethren International Missions Board of Trustees met, I'm a part of that board, and met, rented that portion of that same camp for a retreat, and I went back there. And I tried as best I could identify anyway to find that same cabin and went inside alone and knelt down and thanked God for what He had done for my soul. You see, people, there is no greater experience than to reflect back upon when Christ Jesus came into your heart. Now, all our experiences are different. Some of you were saved as adults, maybe saved out of a hard life of sin. Others of you came from Christian homes where maybe you first came to know Jesus as a boy or girl in Sunday school or vacation Bible school or an Awana program. In fact, it may be even hard to put your finger on the day when you were born again. That's not important. Don't worry about it. The important thing is that you know that Jesus has come into your heart, that you've received Him as your Savior. See, but it's great to reflect back. And that's what the writer of the book of Hebrews says. Don't ever forget those wonderful days when you first came to know about Christ. And I want to say this morning, if you are here without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've missed that experience, and I'm not talking about trying to copy somebody else's experience, I'm just talking about coming to know Christ. If you've missed that experience, you've missed the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest sense of fulfillment that you can ever know in this world. And to come to know Christ as your own Savior from sin, the one who died for you, to receive Him, to trust Him, to be born again, is the greatest experience in all of life. Nothing else compares with it. So the Bible writer says, don't forget those wonderful days when you first learned about Christ. Don't let this happy trust in the Lord die away no matter what happens. Child of God, I wonder if it has started to die away, to dim in your reflection. Maybe the things of the world, the present problems of the world, your present needs, some of the things of the world have become bigger in your eyes than they ought to be. And you need to get a new focus. As you once again look at that time in your life when Christ came into your soul and everything else didn't really matter, because now you'd come to know Christ and now you were saved. And maybe as John wrote to the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2, maybe you've left your first love. By the way, I hear that verse misquoted sometimes. I hear it quoted, you've lost your first love. No, you don't lose it. You leave it. It's not something that you just lose by accident. You leave it. If you've left it, and you know what I'm talking about, say, dear Lord, I don't want it that way. I want to be back where I was, where the things of heaven, where this matter of salvation, where my being right with Thee, where my knowing Thee, where my being saved from hell, where my having the assurance of going to heaven when I die, when those things are more important to me than anything in this passing world. Lord, forgive me. Restore me. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, don't ever forget those wonderful days. We ought to remember what God's done for our church. God's used us to send and support missionaries. I thank God for those that are on the field today that are our extension in various parts of the world. I thank God for those who have come from this church and who themselves are serving in other parts of the world. I thank the Lord for those. Thank the Lord for the branch church, which by faith God is enabling us to establish up and coming and is brought into existence. Struggling, starting, no, but it was starting new, but it was all in God's timing. Oh, are you praying for that branch church up there? Are you praying for those people? Thank God for these who want to do that. Thank God for it. I thank God for our young people, some of whom are now in college, committed to the Lord, some in what we call secular schools, some in Christian schools, seeking to live for Jesus. And I want to tell you that God is not finished with us yet, either individually or our families or as a body, as a church. I like the little button that sometimes people wear that, what does it say? I shouldn't try it. It says, God is not finished with me yet. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. So I anticipate what God has ahead. And it's the encouragement of the Bible writer. I thank God not only for what God is going to do through us individually as a church and individually, but I thank God best of all for the anticipation of what the writer of the book of Hebrews talks about when he finishes the passage by saying his coming will not be delayed much longer. Now, I know it's been nearly 2,000 years since the Bible writer wrote that, but the Bible says in God's sight, 1,000 years is just like a day. It just goes by like that. God's clock is moving on schedule. And yes, I believe that Jesus may be coming very soon. As I see the prophecies of the Word of God coming to pass, particularly in relation to the coming of, in glory of our Lord, as I see what's happening over in the Middle East and the struggle that's going on there with Israel, it's happened in our generation and our generation alone. As I see apostasy even coming in the church, as I see the degeneration of society as described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we see the degeneration in a nation in which we live, which once had godly principles, see all that degeneration. You say, I wonder how soon he may come. See what God will do. And therefore, we need to take the admonition to redeem the time, because the time that God has given us until Jesus comes again may be more precious than gold. And to see what God can do through us as individuals and in our families, and what God can do through us as a body of people in a church. But you and I well know that that body, those individuals, have to be clean. We have to be clean if God's going to use us. And oh, that you and I might pray as the psalmist did, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. God, I just want to be in the place where my life will count for Christ in whatever time I've got left. First of all, life goes by so quickly. It's so short. James talks about that. Plus the fact that as I've said, our Lord may come during your lifetime and mine. And the little saying is true, that's only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. But while we've got it, this time is so exceedingly precious. It's precious to you and me. And God wants us to redeem it. God grant that we'll be a clean people. Our hearts will be right with God. That we'll be in the place where God can use us as a personal witness in our family, to our relatives, to the people around us with whom we work and with whom we live, that Jesus shall be seen in us and that He shall be heard about from us through our lips in whatever time remains, because His coming will not be delayed much longer, says the Bible writer. To see what God will do us. Now, it won't be easy. It won't be easy. I just read you those verses where it says, remember how you kept right on with the Lord even though there was terrible suffering, and these people suffered a whole lot more than we have. Sometimes you were laughed at and beaten. Sometimes you watched and sympathized with others suffering the same things. You suffered with those thrown into jail, and you were actually joyful when all you owned was taken away. I wonder what we'd do if all we owned was taken away. Everything taken away. He said you did it. You were actually joyful, knowing that better things were awaiting you in heaven. Things that will be yours forever. Is that where your treasure is? Is that what you count important? Is that what you're looking forward to? That's what will make things down here okay, regardless of what comes. How precious. The point is, it'll be worth it. It'll be worth it. You know, the bottom line of it all, this passage. And as we reflect back in our own lives and the life of the church, as we anticipate what God would do through us during these days ahead, as we anticipate all of that, the bottom line of it all is that the only real peace and purpose or joy or real life here and now is found in Jesus Christ. Is found in a heart that's right with Him and in fellowship with Him, in obedience to His Word, led of the Holy Spirit. That's all that brings joy. That's all that brings peace. That's all that brings life. And the only hope, not only for this life, but the only hope for eternity, and that's all that really matters. I received a letter this last week from Larry Chamberlain, who is the director, executive director of Grace Brethren Home Missions. And in these letters that he sends out periodically, he shares some other letters that he gets from church planters around the country, like up and coming, places that seek to establish new testimonies for the gospel. He shares one that is on the point I'm talking about this morning from Dave Miller of Williamsport, Pennsylvania, which he got. Here is a portion of Dave's letter. It says, "As you know, Wednesday, July 17th, TWA, flight number 800, crashed into the ocean off Long Island, New York. On board was a group from the French Club of Montours High School, 16 students from 9th through 12th grade and 5 adults. The French teacher and her husband left behind 2 small children. At 8 a.m. on Thursday, I received a call asking if I would be available to respond as a part of a, quote, critical incident stress management team." Now, isn't that a fancy name the government's given to it? But anyway, critical incident stress management team, going to the high school to meet with and counsel anyone in need. You can well imagine the range of emotions that we dealt with during the next 13 and a half hours. One girl in particular asked me, "Why do these things keep happening to this school this year? This is the 4th incident in this school year. First, an 8-year-old boy was run over by a school bus and killed. Then some students were involved in a car accident in which a number of them were killed. And later this year, a member of the senior class committed suicide. And now, the loss of 21 people from a town of 10,000 in one fell swoop. To some, this is just too much to handle. A postscript to one of the tragedies was that the mother of the 8-year-old boy who was killed by the school bus came to the school and volunteered to counsel with parents who lost their children in the plane crash. What a heroine. We experienced many trying times as we attempted to share some glimmer of hope for the ones that were left. However, the most difficult thing for me was the fact that I was witnessing firsthand what was spoken of in Judges chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. And here's the quotation from Judges. "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord." Then he continues, "We are dealing with a generation of school-age children who do not know God or anything of His mighty works. It's extremely difficult to share the love and peace of God with young people who for all practical purposes have been taught there is no God and that they are to be helped. If they are to be helped, they must find that help in themselves. No, people. The only help is to be found in our God. The only help is to be found in our God." You see, folks, that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. So that's why the writer of Hebrews says, don't ever forget, folks, that wonderful day when you came to know Christ. And the writer of the book of Psalms says, "Come all ye that fear the Lord, and let me tell you the great things He hath done for my soul." You tell yourself that periodically. Don't you forget it. And then you tell others. And as we do, yeah, there'll be ridicule. There at times may be some suffering. It's what Paul said here, and writers of Hebrews said here in this passage I read to you. They even had everything that they had taken away from them, and they did it joyfully. because they realized the treasure they had found in Christ and that which awaited in heaven was far more precious and far more valuable. But you see, to realize what we have in Christ is the only anchor for this life. It's the only thing that brings stability in the midst of problems and trials, no matter how deep. And it's the only thing that brings real joy and peace and purpose in life here and now, is being right with Him and knowing Christ. So as I close this morning, this very simple message, I just asked, dear friend here this morning, are you sure you know Jesus? I didn't ask you if you were a church member like I was. I was even baptized in a church that baptizes by triune immersion like we do here. I was baptized that way before I ever came to know Christ. I want to ask you, do you know Jesus? Have you come to Him as a lost sinner? For that's what you are in the sight of God. That's what we all are. Cast yourself at His feet and said, Lord Jesus, I thank You for dying on that cross for my sins.